Thank you so much for downloading the Friday Night Comedy Podcast. Losers that you are from BBC Radio 4, it's a great podcast. I have the greatest podcast. So for more podcasts, so many more podcasts, visit the Radio 4 website, but don't read any of the news. It's fake. So fake, sad.
You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Sarah Montague.
This is our special end of the year roundup.
Theresa May went to the country in June promising strong and stable government, the worst case of false advertising since Jacob Rees-Mogg described himself on Tinder as buff.
Meanwhile, in America, prosecutors stumbled across a treasure trove of incriminating information linking the Trump administration to Russia. They were called Donald Trump's tweets.
In fact, John, we can now listen to President Trump's New Year's message to the American people.
All through 2017, people have been concerned that we're on the brink of a nuclear war. Well, I've got great news, really, really great news. Everybody relax. The world is no longer on the brink of nuclear war because I've pushed the button. We are no longer on the brink, which is great. We're right off the brink. I never liked the word brink anyway. All of our great American nuclear missiles are now in the sky. And yes, I did say you're fired as I pushed the button. And the horrified staff in the Oval Office left because they had to. Any questions? I'll be on the golf course.
Right, so it turns out this isn't an end-of-the-year special. It's an end-of-the-world special. Armageddon is upon us and we have 30 minutes before the world ends.
29 minutes and 30 seconds, actually, John.
Thanks for correcting me, Sarah. We wouldn't want to get letters. So, just time for Gary Richardson of the sport, then.
I'm afraid Gary isn't here, John. He's gone on eBay in a futile attempt to sell his Panini albums while they're still worth something.
No sport, then. Well, let's go straight to Thought for the Day with former Archbishop Dr. Rowan Williams.
Thank you, John. It's at times like this that I'm reminded of the words of St. Paul. We're all going to die!
That was lovely, thank you, Vicar. A very short thought for the day and no sport. Say what you like about the end of the world, but it's certainly made my morning. We're going back to Washington for a hastily convened press conference.
Mr. President!
Are we all going to die?
More fake news. Of course, the scientists will say that nuclear war means the entire world will be dead, but scientists are always wrong. They were wrong about climate change and they were wrong about Jurassic Park. That's not a safe place to holiday.
What did Kim Jong-un do to provoke you?
Who said anything about Kim Jong-un? Lots of other people annoyed me this year. James Corden, why have I not been on Carpool Karaoke? I can sing. The Queen, I didn't want to come to Britain anyway. The chicken McNuggets are too chickeny. Macron, he snubbed me in Paris by refusing to rename the Eiffel Tower. Trump's got a point. Sesame Street, too many gay puppets. Snoopy from Charlie Brown, he won't return my calls. The Prime Minister of Covife. The Dalai Lama, for not actually being a real llama.
You've reached the voicemail of Theresa May. I'm busy trying to convince the British public that while President Trump's nuclear attack is wrong, it will not in any way affect the special relationship. And we will not be cancelling his state visit. Please leave a message.
Hey, hey, Tay, Tay. It's Michael Gove here. Sorry about the whole end of the world thing. It's been a difficult few months, hasn't it? Anyway, a little birdie told me about this secret underground bunker you've reserved for all the top cabinet members, and funniest thing, it seems my invite must have got missing in the post. Now, as you know, obviously I'm the last person to try and manoeuvre things behind the scenes, but don't worry. Luckily, Gobies fixed everything. I tracked down the bunker, took out a few guards, and got Damien Green to swap his place for an old copy of Nuts magazine. Anyway, the good news is I'm here now, and I hope you're as excited as I am to spend a long, 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 long time all snuggled up with your cuddly little Goby. Cozy with Goby. Toodles.
BBC Radio 4. Later, we have a special Armageddon edition of The Moral Maze. If Giles Fraser and Melanie Phillips banging on about the morality of looting don't get you in the mood for the sweet release of death, then nothing will. But we can now cross to Buckingham Palace and a special message from Her Majesty the Queen.
Good morning to you all. The end of the world can be a very disconcerting time for many of you. Not for me, of course. My family and I got word of an impending strike, so we're currently orbiting the Earth in the QE3. An intergalactic spaceship designed for just such an occasion by Sir Christopher Wren. I am currently floating weightlessly in the William Shatner dining room, sucking on a tube which provides me with dehydrated swan for the duration of the journey to the next planet. Now, in times of crisis, you've looked to your monarch for words of comfort and reassurance, which is a bit of a tough one for me, as you're all going to die. But I will rise to the occasion, as I always do. So here goes. Sorry about the end of the world thing. Thanks for all the cash. Of all the planets I rule, you'll always be my third favourite.
Hello, and welcome to this special edition of Newsnight on the imminent annihilation of all life on Earth. So, a bit bleaker than a normal edition, but not much. I'm joined now by Jeremy Corbyn.
And Evan, let me just say that as a lifelong humanitarian, I am appalled by this recent turn of events. Although, as a lifelong member of CND, I'm also feeling pretty smug about it.
Now, we understand Theresa May is about to launch Britain's entire defensive arsenal in a bid to knock out the nuclear missiles currently heading towards us. And, of course, we all support her in that.
Well, I don't. Evan, I've always believed that the best way to deal with atomic weaponry that's about to obliterate us is through negotiation. That is why I am calling on Theresa May to get round the table with the nuclear missiles for urgent talks.
But they're going to hit us in less than 20 minutes.
That's why I'm calling for urgent talks. Otherwise, I'd just be calling for talks. We should be welcoming our friends, the missiles that are going to kill us, into the political mainstream. Although if they do end up annihilating the whole of Britain, that wouldn't be the worst thing that could happen.
It literally would.
But my point is at least it would impact the rich as much as the poor. In that respect, Armageddon would actually be quite a progressive development.
Jeremy Corbyn, thank you.
May I add one final thing? I hate grime music. Had to pretend to like it for the last few years. No point now, thank you.
People of Britain, for those of you with better memories, you might recognise me as your Prime Minister. As you know, we're all about to be engulfed by a nuclear fireball. Millions will die horribly, and those who do survive will find themselves eking out an existence in a bleak, charred wilderness. So, of course, I know what question you want me to answer. How will this affect Brexit? And my answer is, not in the slightest. We are sticking to the agreed timetable, which sees us leaving the EU on Friday the 29th of March 2019. Because like a nuclear missile, once a course has been set, we stick to it, no matter how catastrophic. Many so-called experts will tell you that the end of civilization is a bad thing. I and the Daily Mail call these people nuclear war moaners. Armageddon is unfairly portrayed as an act of madness, of unprecedented self-harm, and yet it has the support of the large percentage of the population who are keen to see the real benefits that nuclear destruction will bring. Homegrown British business will thrive in the new post-apocalyptic economy. At least those businesses making canned food and shotguns. So let's not be overly downbeat about the prospect of ending up as glassy-eyed zombies. After all, it never did John Redwood any harm.
Pretty crowded in here for a Tuesday, Joe. Wonder why Clary was so desperate to meet us here. You think it could be something to do with those new road markings opposite Grange Farm? Yes, you're probably right, Joe. After all, you were right about Kevin Spacey.
Oh, hello, Joe and Eddie.
Oh, hello, Lexi. How's Roy?
Roy is wonderful. My grandmother in the old country had a word to describe wonderful men like Roy. It was wonderful. See you both later.
I'm the same, Joe. Can't understand a word she says with that accent of hers. I was enjoying pretending to drink that pint.
Look, everyone, we have to stop all this nonsense, end this charade about being fictional country folk in an imaginary place called Ambridge, and make our final peace with our loved ones. I'm not spending the last seconds of my life saying, oh, Eddie, I'm an actress called Heather Bell.
I haven't seen my real family for 6 years, and I'm now going to ring them and apologise for wasting my life in Birmingham pretending to be downtrodden with ferrets. And you should all do the same.
Oh, dear. Should I tell her, everyone?
Tell me what?
Back in the 80s, at the height of the Cold War, the BBC ensured that even in the event of a nuclear strike, the Archers would continue.
Eddie's right, Clary. They cancelled El Dorado and used the billions saved on the licence fee to install a groundbreaking defence shield that would cover the recording studios.
They had two, on the off chance that just one Archer's addict would survive. Can you imagine the furious letter they'd write to the scorched remains of Roger Bolton at feedback?
So you're saying the Archers will go on forever?
Finally, she's got it.
And it'll be exactly the same.
Exactly. Ruth will still be irritating. Justin, Lillian and Matt Crawford's love triangle will always be irritating. And Linda will be very irritating.
Oh, yes, forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, how sweet. Clary's trying to escape. Ow! Oh, Wendy!
Nothing gets through that defence shield. Right. Who fancies another imaginary point?
There now follows an emergency broadcast from the leader of the Conservatives.
Arlene Foster here. We at the DUP have been ready for the apocalypse for years. Our entire party platform is basically the Book of Revelations with more flags in it. A lot of parties aren't prepared for the end of the world. Oh no, there's fire everywhere. Everything's turning orange. That's just a standard July the 12th for us. What you have to ask yourself now is, do you want a Protestant apocalypse or a Catholic apocalypse? Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go down to our state-of-the-art nuclear bunker underneath Shankill Road. Well, we had to spend the $1 billion government bribe somehow, didn't we?
You're listening to LBC Radio with me, Nigel Farage. We have a caller on the line.
Yes, hello, I was wondering...
No, let me speak. If we've only got minutes left, I'm not going to let you prattle on, that's my job. So, with the decimation of the entire planet just minutes away, I can say one thing. Huzzah! This is great news for Big Nige. As everyone knows, after the years of punishment I've put my body through, I'm literally indestructible. Plane crashes, serious illness, the daily egg bombardments, chain smoking, nautical warfare with Bob Geldof, being chased around the house by my wife wielding a rolling pin, for reasons that will remain between me, my wife, the barmaid at the Dog and Duck, the barmaid at the King's Head and the barmaid at the Jaws and Dragon. Everyone will die, but I'll be left. I, Nigel Herbert Farage, am the nuclear cockroach. And once I'm in charge of my own charred wasteland, I can do whatever I bloody well want. I can smoke in pubs once I've clambered over the bodies. I can bring back fox hunting. It will be, in fact, necessary, as they will be rivals in my daily scavenge through the bins. There'll be no pointless health and safety legislation, because in the nuclear holocaust, no one will be healthy or safe. It's the dream. It's the Nigel Farage dream. It'll just be good old Nige, all alone with the memories. The memories. Like that time I had a nightmare. I went into Mummy and Daddy's room and told them I was scared. Daddy rolled his eyes and said, "Why can't you just be a man, Nigel?" But I wasn't a man, Daddy. I was just a child. A scared child who just needed to be loved. Anyway, all the good stuff. Here's Duran Duran and Wild Boys.
You've reached the office of Theresa May. I can't come to the phone right now, as Arlene Foster is using me as a paperweight. Please leave a message after the tone.
David Davis here, your Brexit bulldog. Prime Minister, I have some bad news and some good news. Now, you know how I was supposed to be in Brussels today, putting Britain's case against Johnny Camembert for the latest round of Brexit negotiations? Well, I'm not there, but there is bad news as well. I'm in North Korea. Odd sort of place. Totally cut off from the rest of the world. Though I'm sure everything's going splendidly back home. Now, I'm sure you're wondering how the master negotiator ended up in one of the world's most secretive countries with nothing but the clothes on his back and a duty-free Toblerone in his briefcase. Long story short, PM, never get into a drunken argument in the hotel bar with a group of Norwegian trawler fishermen about herring. But you know me, PM, never want to dwell on the negative. Have to say, first impressions here are surprisingly positive. Has that slightly down-at-heel 1960s feel with a faint undercurrent of despair. Ah, oh, a bit like my house. Anyways, a lot of police here now to greet me. Full bells and whistles for a diplomat of my standing. Yeah, oh, they're screaming something, which I assume must be, oh, welcome to North Korea or something, you know. I think they're demonstrating that they want to export handcuffs, sharpened bamboo sticks and blindfolds. Because that's what they're waving in my direction. Very positive vibes coming my way, I can tell you, yes. This could be the most successful trade mission since Liam Fox came back with that pen. Brexit Bulldog out.
We seem to have got ourselves into what I like to call a bit of a nuclear pickle.
Available now on one download. It's Penelope Wilton takes you through the nuclear catastrophe with her lovely voice, so it sounds less horrid. She'll explain all the gory details.
At the moment of detonation, nuclear fission will occur, heating the surrounding area to millions of degrees. But don't worry, it won't hurt a bit, and that's because you'll be vaporized.
Yes, Penelope's here with all the specifics.
If you're worried you'll be left as just a burnt skeleton, don't be, because your bones will then be scattered by the shockwave. You'll end up less like human remains and more like someone's just dropped some wind chimes.
With Penelope, you can sit back and enjoy your last minutes on Earth as Penelope reminds you that you had a good run of it, really.
The Olympics, they were good, weren't they? Bacon, yummy scrummy. Finding a tenner. Peeling a sticker off in one go when you think it's going to rip but doesn't. That day when we all found out about David Cameron and the pig's head.
So bye, Penelope Wilton takes you through the apocalypse and you'll start to see the bright side of total annihilation.
Nuclear Armageddon means we won't have to have another election.
You've reached Theresa May. Please leave a message.
Hello, Tay-Tay. Goby here once again. funniest thing. I was halfway through chatting with everyone else in here, asking them how they feel spending the rest of their lives trapped with Gooby. And the next thing I knew, they had all left. Apparently, they'd had a better offer, standing in a field with their fingers crossed. Anyway, at first I was a little apprehensive about living out my remaining time without a friend, but then realised, hey, I've lasted 50 years, what's another 50? That's really, really roomy. So after a lot of soul-searching, I did what anyone would do, changed the entry codes and bolted the doors. So basically, what I'm saying is, you're locked out. I know this must be really disappointing, hun, but I have to stand up for my convictions. They've served me so well in the past. Oh, and can you keep the banging on the door down to a minimum, please? That would be lovely. I can barely hear the voices in my head reassuring me I've done the right thing. Toodles, go be bye.
Hello, and welcome to This Week. I'm Andrew Neil. Don't worry, the radiation sickness hasn't started yet. I always look like this. Joining me in this last ever edition of the show before we're consumed in a fire of awe is the Kraken rising from the depths, the four horsemen of the apocalypse charging in on their fiery steeds, and Diane Abbott!
Andrew, your flippancy is noted, and I disapprove of such levity in the utmost. It is not proper to joke about such a serious topic.
I suppose you're right. The end of the world is not something to be taken lightly.
I do not refer, Andrew, to the end of the world. I refer to the fact that Jeremy is at this present moment in time missing. Where is he? I am crying plaintively like a fawn in the forest.
Perhaps he just crawled into his shed and started blubbing like a baby.
How dare you, Andrew? He would never leave us in our hour of need.
You tell him, Diane.
By the rakish beret of Che Guevara, that's Jeremy's voice.
Yes, it is me. I'm communicating to you via shortwave radio. Thankfully, the metallic texture of Andrew Neil's hair has boosted the signal.
Well, I knew that having my wig made by B&Q would come in handy one day.
I have to announce I have failed to negotiate with the missiles, and I'm sad to say the rock concert and the T-shirt campaign has failed to prevent the end of the world. I reluctantly retreated to a bunker specially built by Momentum for such an eventuality.
Fear not, Jeremy. I have a plan B for saving the world. Once the Holocaust is over, we will fertilise a willing acolyte and repopulate the planet with purebred leftist offspring.
What a fascinating plan, and no doubt fully costed, Diane. But frankly, I'm not sure it's going to work.
Well, that's just typical BBC negativity. Diane proposes a sensible socialist policy of using my seed to repopulate the planet, and the first reaction is to invite ridicule.
Yes, you've always had it in for Jeremy. You'll be the first up against the wall when my womb bursts forth and an army of mini Corbyns emerge blinking in the new dawn, mark my words.
Actually, Diane, I was thinking of fertilising John McDonnell.
And now today programme update. The nuclear missiles are on their way and we're still none the wiser as to why Donald Trump launched them. But actually, I'm hearing there are dramatic developments in Washington.
Yes, John. We're going straight to a hastily convened press conference by Droopy Chop's White House press spokesperson, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I need to correct one small point. In regard to the president pushing the button to launch the nukes, while it is true and enraged, president did push the red button on his desk marked button to launch the nukes, that button was installed by General Kelly and does not, in fact, launch the nukes. Nope, that button does, in fact, order the president a refreshing Diet Coke, a bucket of Twinkies, and a Miss World contestant.
So Trump didn't launch the nukes. We're all going to live. I've never felt so alive. There is no Armageddon.
Actually, John, yes, there is. The MOD says they're still tracking scores of missiles heading for the UK.
But if it wasn't Trump, then who fired them?
Well, luckily, the BBC has gained exclusive access to an audio tape which might explain all.
Prime Minister, it's your Brexit bulldog here. You remember that high-level trade delegation I was leading to North Korea? Well, to be honest, it didn't get off to the greatest of starts. My first meeting with their high-level negotiator took place in a dungeon with me hung upside down from the ceiling as a hooded man prodded me with bamboo spikes. Don't give Barnier any bright ideas, I thought. But we soon sorted out the misunderstanding and they realised that I was British, especially when I told them I was a very high up in the government and I was here to do serious business with the North Koreans. Suddenly their eyes lit up and they started muttering things about state secrets. Suddenly it was all smiles and how many sugars do you like in your cappuccino? It's 4, just for the record. Trust the bulldog to turn things round. What could go wrong from here on in, I thought. Well, long story short, PM, quite a lot, actually. I'm not sure what happened. Yeah, it was all going to plan. Kim Jong-un welcomed me into the Imperial Palace with full pomp. At least I think that was his wife's name. And, you know, he kept hugging me and saying, UK defector, UK defector. Odd chap. Anyway, I nodded a lot, did my favourite diplomatic joke I specially reserved for my Far Eastern guests. You know the one, you remember. Waiter, waiter, this chicken's rubbery. Oh, thank you, sir. Glad you like it. Love that one. Yeah, never fails to be an icebreaker at parties back home. But not here. No, no one was laughing. Not even a titter. In fact, they all looked a bit cross. Next thing I know, it's all kicking off, you know. Oh, just for future reference, when a fat dictator starts screaming at you and threatening to obliterate Britain if you don't apologise, don't start throwing noodles at him. Long story short, if you want to know who's responsible for thousands of missiles landing on the home counties and parts of Norwich, then I may be in a position to tell you. Anyway, let's not dwell on bad news. We're not Ramonas. There's still plenty of good news. Little Birdie tells me that in my absence, the Brexit talks are suddenly going really well. It seems that the imminent nuclear strike was just a wake-up call Brussels needed. With Barnier in a frantic rush to get to Juncker's bunker, they've caved. Oh, we've been given access to the single market, total control of our borders, zero tariffs, all that stuff, you know. And we've got all of that for as long as the UK exists. Oh, I think I've just noticed a tiny wrinkle in the deal. Oh, well, it's a thought that counts. Brexit bulldog out.
This is the UK Emergency Automated Announcement. If there are any survivors, please make yourselves known.
Hello, it's Michael Gove here. Do you know, the so-called experts said the only creatures who'd survive a nuclear blast were cockroaches. So how come I've made it through then, eh? It appears I'm the only human left alive. Oh well, I suppose I'll have to repopulate the planet all by myself then. Luckily, I've been genetically altered enough by the blast to make that possible. Finally, I'll be able to do to myself what people have been telling me to for years.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson, Duncan Wisby and Lewis MacLeod. It was written by Tom Jameson, Nev Fountain, Ed Amsden, Tom Coles, Lawrence Howe, Max Davis, James Burke, Sarah Campbell and Jack Bernhardt. It was produced and created by Bill Dare and was a BBC Studios production.
Hello, I'm Michelle Hussein, and just before you go, I want to tell you about the Best of Today podcast. It's where you can catch up on the biggest interviews with newsmakers, top politicians, A-list actors, business leaders, and the best of the BBC's reporting from around the world. Don't worry, if you've had a lie-in and missed us this morning, it does happen, you can catch up anytime, anywhere, at home, on your commute, while you're out and about. So why not join those who listen daily and subscribe to Best of Today from wherever you get your podcasts and start downloading now.